After 3 days at sea, Patrick, the captain, and crew of the Irish ship reached the coast of France. But they didn't find the villages and sources of trade they expected. Instead, war had ravaged the countryside. Now, there's a lot of debate about where Patrick went next. Some believe he ventured further into France and even beyond Italy to learn more about Christianity from church leaders. And others believe that Patrick made his way back to England so he could find out what happened to his family.
Let's find out what happened to his family.
All right. Now, you remember that his village was raided, and for all Patrick knew, there was nothing left of it.
Yeah.
Well, then it was a wonderful surprise for Patrick to find that the village was not only standing, but repaired and bigger than when he'd been kidnapped.
Wow.
Yes. But he was a stranger to them now. The boy had become a man. He walked past in silence, keeping his hood up to shield his face. His heart pounded as he approached the gate of his family's farm. It was a burned-out wreck. Little remained of the beautiful house that had been his childhood home. An old man walked up the road and spoke as he passed.
What are you looking at?
What? Oh, this house.
Terrible tragedy, that was. Left to ruin after the Irish raided the village. Who are you?
I'm a pilgrim of sorts. Tell me, old man, where is the family now?
They live in what was once the servants' quarters. A house near...
The barn. Yes, I know it.
Do you? And how have you come by that knowledge?
I once lived there.
Lived? Wait, remove your hood. Let me see your face.
Very well.
Is it possible? Patrick? My son?
Father?
Oh, my son. My son.
Father, thanks be to God.
After 7 years, Patrick was reunited with his family.
And they lived happily ever after, right?
Well, not the way you're thinking, Jared. The second most significant thing in Patrick's life then happened.
Uh-oh. Another dream?
Another dream.
Patrick. What? Who's there?
Patrick.
Who is it?
I am Victoricus, sent of the Lord. I have brought you these.
What are they? Letters?
Letters? God sent a mailman to him?
Oh, they were countless letters. Patrick opened them and heard the voice of the Irish appealing to him, as if all the lost souls there were calling out to him for help. As one voice, they said to him,
"We ask thee, holy youth, come and look among us in Ireland once more."
This is a dream. Dare I believe it?
He who laid down his life for you speaks to you now. Return! Return!
My Lord, you fill my heart with despair and joy. If you summon me, then I remain your obedient servant. I will go wherever you want me to go, even back to the people who first enslaved me. I will go.
Back to Ireland? Was he crazy?
Well, he was called. God rescued Patrick from the Irish in order to send him back to save them.
I'll bet his family wasn't too happy about that.
We don't know, but we do know that Patrick's father and grandfather were devout Christians, so they probably understood that Patrick had to obey God. To disobey would have compromised his faith.
So, what did he do?
Scholars believe that he prepared for his ministry by studying in England or traveling to Europe to learn from the church leaders there. Then he went to Ireland to preach the gospel and to deal with the Druids. Patrick knew the moment he reached the Irish shore that he and his small band of priests were not welcome.
My Celtic brothers, we come in peace.
Come in peace. Turn around and go in peace. We don't want the British here.
We carry no swords. We've not come for war.
We'll not trade with you neither. Now turn around and go, for know the thrust of our blades.
But we are lowly priests, bearing only good news.
Priests? Of what? Who called you priests? King Leary does not sanction British priests. You don't wear the white robes of Lochru's druids.
Nor should we, since we do not bow to Lochru's gods. We serve the living God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All the gods are living.
Your gods only live through fear. We've come to show you another way. Go. Tell King Leary of our presence. We'll go no further until you return.
Well,
do you risk your king's wrath by turning away emissaries from another land?
Well, go. But I'll leave my men to stay here and keep an eye on you. If you so much as twitch, they'll run you through.
So be it.
And who am I to say has arrived? Emissaries of what?
Emissaries of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Emissaries of what?
The Lord Jesus Christ, he said.
Ah, and there were how many of them now?
Only 6 or 7, sire.
Without swords?
No weapons at all. They're priests, sire. We tried to make them leave, but the leader said he wanted me to announce him to you.
He did. This is confounding, you know.
Sire, if I may...
What is it, Lochru? Do you know about this?
I know of these priests, yes. They're dangerous.
6 of them?
Just one is dangerous enough. They breed lies like rabbits. They're called Christians. I suggest you drive them off as quickly as possible.
Lochru?
Yes, my queen.
You're looking particularly pale at this news. What is it about these Christians that frightens you?
Frightens me? Oh, Your Highness, with all due respect, I am not frightened of them.
Oh?
Our gods could destroy them with a whisper.
If so, then there is nothing we need to do with them.
No. That is to say, my queen, well...
Yes. We have 6 unarmed men claiming to be priests who have come to visit us. Should we not welcome them? I say we should. If your gods wish to stop them, then so be it. But I, for one, don't believe we should lift a finger against them. Do you agree, my king?
Mm. Oh, yes, of course. Soldier.
Yes, sire.
Tell the strangers they are welcome to pay their respects to us and to tell us more about their purpose here.
Yes, Your Highness.
And your gods are welcome to try to stop them, Lochru.
Thank you, sire. I'm sure my gods will do whatever pleases them the most.
Yes, I'm sure they will.
It's a setup. Didn't the queen know that this Lochru guy would figure out a way to kill Patrick?
Well, maybe she did. Maybe she thought it was a good test to see how Patrick and his priest would do against the druids. If Patrick made it to the castle, then he might be worth listening to. And if he didn't... And there was no loss. He represented just another religion that wasn't worth believing.
But I'm right, aren't I? Lochru wanted to stop Patrick from seeing the king.
Oh, yes. He pulled together some renegade soldiers, paid well, and armed to the hilt, of course.
I guess he didn't trust his gods too much.
Or his magic. Anyway, they waited in ambush for Patrick on a dark road in the middle of the forest.
My lord, we've seen the British priests. They approach.
Are your soldiers in place, Fortune?
Yes, Lochru. Sentry, tell the men not to begin the attack until I give the word.
Quickly, man. The priests come round the bend.
Sir?
Pray warn the others.
But, sir, I do not see priests. Only a few deer.
Confound it, man. Are you blind? They approach. Now off with you. Instruct the others.
I will command the troops, Lochru. Sentry. Tell the men to prepare themselves for the priest, but to wait my signal.
Yeah!
But the priests approach!
Have you lost your mind? Those are deer. Now, unless you risk exposing our hiding places, keep your voice down and leave the deer be. My sentry has reported that the priests are coming. When they arrive, we'll carry out our assault.
The Christian priests have cast a spell on you. Those aren't deer, you see, but the very men themselves. Can't you hear their singing?
I hear nothing save the wind and the chirping of birds.
It's not nature, you fool! The Christians pass you by even as you stand idle!
Look, Druid, I'll not be mocked. Perhaps you've dabbled in magic too long. and your judgment is disturbed. Deer occupy this path, not men.
My lord, we've lost them.
What? How?
I don't know how. We simply lost them.
Oh, you fool. All of you are fools.
Wait a minute. You mean Patrick used magic on them?
Oh, Patrick wasn't a magician. He was a man of prayer. How it was that the soldiers saw deer instead of the priests is, well, that's up to somebody else to explain.
Uh-huh. Then what? Did Patrick go to see the king and queen?
Uh-huh, he did. And in that first meeting, he impressed them both so much that they allowed him to preach without resistance. So Patrick and his men did just that. They walked the length and breadth of Ireland, spreading the gospel and bringing many people to Christ.
What about Lochru and the Druids?
Well, they weren't very happy about it. They put a lot of pressure on the king to keep Christians from getting too popular. But the king was also pressured by his wife, who was sympathetic to Christianity. He found himself walking a tightrope between the two. But it all came to a climax one Easter.
They celebrated Easter?
No. And that bothered Patrick. You see, the Druids had a big festival for their god. It was a feast with a lot of eating and drinking in the king's banquet hall, followed by the lighting of a huge fire at the peak of Tara Hill, where the castle stood. It was very symbolic. That fire was supposed to be the biggest fire of the year. None other could even come close. And that symbolized the power of the Druid gods.
Sounds awful.
Worse. It was the royal custom not to have any fires lit in the country before the Great Fire was set and could be seen by all. Well, that year, the Druid feast fell on what should have been Easter. Patrick knew he had to do something. So he came up with another idea, to create a fire on a nearby hill before the Druids lit their fire at the castle.
Don't stop! Keep the fire burning! More wood! Let the entire nation see our light. God in heaven, hear our prayer. Know that we want for nothing save you. And we ask that you, through your power, break the power of darkness. Amen.
We've been frozen like blocks of ice for all these many winter months. So drink up now, and the wine will thaw us out.
Your Highness, I've come from the countryside. You must see it to believe it.
Then speak up, man. What is so urgent that you endanger the joy of our festival?
That fire! There's a fire!
What are you talking about? What's he talking about, Lockwood?
Someone has lit the fire before the king has commanded.
No, it isn't the fire here at Tara. It's a fire on Slane Hill. It's enormous. The largest fire I've ever seen.
What?
I tell you, there's a fire on Slane Hill. Look out your window. Look!
There it is!
Who has defied our custom?
That confounded priest, Patrick. As sure as we stand here, he is to blame.
Messenger?
Yes, Your Highness. 'Tis Patrick and his priests. He has lit the fire unashamedly.
I can't believe it.
Well, Lockru, what do you advise?
Oh, High King, unless you quench this fire now, once and for all, it will never be quenched, and this priest will overcome every one of us. You will lose your realm.
My king, please.
Call out the palace guard. Bring me my chariots. This priest will answer for his defiance. I'll strike him down there on Slane's Hill.
My king, listen to me.
I have listened enough. After all I've done for him, Patrick defies me. Now is time to act.
But, Leary, Patrick has grown popular with the people. If you strike him down there in front of all, there may be rebellion. Hear me, my king. Send your soldiers, yes, but do not go yourself. Have him brought here to us, where we may speak and judge him face to face.
King Leary, I'm afraid that the queen may be under the priest's spell. Go yourself now and deal with this sorcerer.
Oh, go, my king, and risk being put under a spell yourself? You see how high the flames of his fire are. Enter its circle and you may be ensnared by him. Have him brought to you.
You are right, Eili. You are right. He should be brought to me. Not that I'm afraid of any spells, but of inspiring his followers to a rebellion I am not prepared to quell. Go out to Slane Hill and bring the priest to me right away.
Allow me to withdraw, Your Highness.
Withdraw? Why? I want you here when Patrick comes.
And I will be here, sire. But only after I have prayed to the gods for wisdom and guidance to destroy this man.
I see. Then do what you must,
and so I shall.
Loose it, Mail, what are we going to do?
If Patrick comes, you know he'll outwit that weak-minded fool of a king.
Be still! You have bungled this conflict from the start. Now I'll put an end to it.
How?
Take this vial. It has the most potent poison known to man. Invite Patrick to drink, then put these in his wine. He will be dead before he touches the ground. Can you do it? Or are you too faint-hearted?
To rid ourselves of this vermin once and for all, I will see to it.
Your Royal Highness, presenting Patrick, priest of the Christians.
Yes, yes. Come in, Patrick. You may approach my throne. May I present you to my queen, Eili.
Patrick, we welcome your presence on this occasion, the night of our festival.
If you speak of the festival marking the occasion of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then I am welcomed indeed. If you purport to celebrate some other occasion, then I cannot feel welcomed.
Confounded priest, you speak defiance here in my castle. Can you not manage a moment of humility before your king?
Humility before my king, yes. But not before man-made monarchs with hearts too blind to recognize the sovereign power and glory of the one Lord God of us all.
Do you hear how he speaks to me, Eili? Yes. Where's Lockrew? Where are those druids when I need them?
I am here, sire.
Patrick, you wage war against us by lighting the fire on Slane Hill this night. What am I to make of it? What am I to do with you?
The question is not what you will do with me, King Leary, but what you will do with the one who sent me.
Beware, Your Highness. His God seeks to trick you through clever speech. Christian, can we put aside the vain banter and sit down together to speak clearly and honestly as men?
Are you capable, Lockrew?
I will, if you will.
Yes, yes, that's the idea. Let us sit down and explore these petty factions that threaten to divide us. Bring us some wine. Sit now. Now, how may we come to peace? Ours is a large kingdom. We have room for many gods here.
There is only one true God. All others are not gods at all, but mere pieces of wood and stone. In the hands of some, they're useless. In the hands of men who wish to oppress, they become weapons of fear.
You are eloquent, Patrick. More so than I would have imagined, what with preaching to peasants day in and day out. Allow me to pour.
The message I bring is a simple one. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
Your wine, Patrick.
Thank you.
You use wine in your incantations, do you not?
We have no incantations. The Lord Jesus Christ, before his sacrificial death, blessed the wine, saying, "This is my blood, which is spilled for you. Drink it in remembrance of me."
Then drink it now, priest. We'll all pretend the wine is his blood and drink it in remembrance of his death.
Beware your blasphemy, Lockrew. To drink such a cup is deadly.
Is it? I can't imagine that there is anything deadly about any of these cups.
No? Then you may have mine, Lockrew.
I have a cup of my own.
To invoke the blessed cup of our communion so flippantly persuades me that I should not drink at this table at all.
You are a stubborn man. Will you not even drink with us?
Yes, don't insult the king.
I insist that you drink my cup, Lockrew. Unless, of course, you have a reason not to.
Reason?
Have I come so far not to know the hearts of men? Has the spirit taken me from my home to this land which once enslaved me, only to have me fall at the hands of a conjurer's trick? May God arise and his enemies be scattered.
Sit down, Patrick.
No, your highness. I may speak honestly when there are honest hearts to hear the words of Christ, but not now. You are chained by this magician to gods who cannot save you nor help you. And as you are chained, so are your people. Through child sacrifices and deadly potions, as deadly as the poison in my chalice.
Poison?
What are you saying, Patrick?
You have seen the light on the hill this night. It will burn on in the hearts of men and women throughout this land, with or without your leadership. Good night. I pray unceasingly for you.
Patrick, Patrick, wait, wait now. Come back here at once. Do you hear? Do you hear? I command you to... never mind.
Lockrew, Lockrew. Why did he think the chalice is poisoned?
He is suspicious of those who will not believe as he does. What do I know of it?
Then drink his cup.
What? Why, thank you, Your Highness, but I have a cup.
Drink the cup, Lockrew.
But I can't. It has been touched by the Christian and would be offensive to the guards.
Oh, please, Lockrew, show good faith and drink the cup.
But I can't, sire.
Why not?
It is...
I see, I see. Then I will drink it myself. The festival is ruined, you know, and it has turned into a tedious evening. Well, here's to what's left of it.
Sire, don't drink it. You mustn't. No!
I had no intention of drinking it, Lockrew. My queen.
Yes, Leary?
It's a new day in our kingdom, I think. The days of the druids have spilled out like bad wine.
Oh, no, sire.
I'm intrigued by the beliefs of Patrick. He lives in faith and courage, while you, Lockrew, lead in deception and fear. I will want to hear more of this, Christianity. But that won't be possible when there are those in the castle who wish to poison our guests. Herewith I do banish them from my court.
Sire, please!
Immediately, Lockrew, immediately, go! And take that wizened crone Lucet Mail with you.
But yes, Your Highness.
Leary, you can be a very wise king at times.
Oh? Only at times, my queen.
At times.
In the coming months, the king proved as good as his word. The influence of the druids over the people diminished until there was little left of its practices or people. The statues and idols were destroyed, and Patrick became much loved, not only by those who embraced his message of Christ, but even by those who didn't. Some even say that by working to save Ireland, Patrick saved the entire world during those dark days.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Well, Mr. Whitaker, now I can wear my green sweater and know I'm wearing it.
That's right, Jared. And maybe we can all stop and remember how a slave boy changed the history of an entire nation through his dedication to Jesus.
The Bible and all of history is filled with stories of men and women who stood for God during the most difficult times imaginable. Some, like Patrick, gave up their homes, their families, even their lives, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who hadn't heard it. The Apostle Paul summarized it this way in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. By standing firm for Jesus, no matter what the circumstance, we have an impact on our families, our friends, and our communities, even the entire world. Adventures and Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Patrick, A Heart of Fire, was written by Paul McCusker and Matt Summer, and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Jonathan Crow. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.